Good morning. For those of you who are visiting, I'm not the regular guy. I'm just a visiting guy too. But they, Brent and Josh, allow me the opportunity to speak once in a while, and it's a great privilege for me to do so. This morning on the way in from the parking lot, I fell in the parking lot. Didn't get hurt, but other than my pride and my coolness, it was interesting. People have been asking, we saw you fall. More people saw me fall than I thought. It's pretty embarrassing. Oh, are you okay? I forgot about it until people kept asking me. Yeah, now it's going for infamy. So anyway. All right, here we go. We're going to start this morning by, I want you to think through a question, okay? And I want you to process this, and I'm going to ask you to help me. All right, we did this in the first service as well. But the question I want to ask you is this, is what lasts forever? There's more than one thing, okay, that I can think of. I'm not the end-all, but I gave it some thought and had some help from the last service as well. What lasts forever? Any ideas? We'll start with a really easy one. What does the Word of God say will last forever? The Word of God. Yeah, all right, so we know that. Okay, so right there. Okay, the Word of God lasts forever. What else lasts forever? How about you? Yeah, we do, right? We do. Exactly. Who we are as individuals, people exist forever, okay? There was a time when we didn't exist, but there'll never be a time that we don't from this point forward. All right, so the Word of God and people, is there anything else that exists forever? What? Love? Did you say love? Yeah, and who is love and what is love? God is love, okay? So we'll say God, and we'll put that perspective in the kingdom of God, okay? God in the kingdom of God. Those are the three things that I thought of that last forever, okay? So the three things are, number one, the Word of God, people, and the kingdom of God. Make sense? Is that fair? Okay. Now, do you know that if we thought that way and functioned that way and made decisions based upon the things that last forever, our lives would change. All right, now just think about it, okay? Now I don't expect everybody to be in agreement with that because we are different places in our understanding of who God is and in our relationship with him and our growing desire to know him and understand him. But basically, I think that the Bible's pretty clear that the Word of God, that's really clear, will last forever. People last forever, and the kingdom of God lasts forever. Now, and if we were to function in every aspect of our life, if that like that was true, and it is, we would live, I believe, a bit differently than we do. Especially when it comes to the topic of this morning, okay? And I want you to know that what I'm about to announce that we're speaking about this morning, I don't take great joy and pride in speaking to you about, and I'll tell you why. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about our stuff and our money. Our stuff and our money. My daughter asked me, Dad, so how's the studying going? And I told her, I said, you know, truthfully, I feel really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. Not because I have to speak about it, but because as I learn about it, I realize that I am really kind of outside the boundaries in my own personal life in a lot of areas on how it is that God wants me to think and to function and to live. And I would venture to bet because we live in America and you live in America, most of us here think outside those boundaries. Let me show you. We come to the conclusion that this right here, this is my $20 bill. Okay? This is mine. You know how come I know it's mine? Because I got it from the bank. You know how come the bank gave it to me? Because I took a check to the bank that my employer gave me and I cashed it. You know why the employer gave me the check? Because I'm good at what I do. You know why I'm good at what I do? Because I got a job that allows me to use talents and gifts that I am good at doing, all right? And we begin to think just that way. I got it from my job. It's my money. I got it with my gifts and talents, and after all, I probably don't get paid enough, right, for what I'm worth. And that may be true for all of us in this room, but the fact is that we begin to think that this is ours. And wrong. Let me help you. For those of you that are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, let me put it in perspective. All right? And the truth is this, that everything that we have came from God. And everything that we have belongs to God. The scriptures tell us that we are stewards of the stuff and the cash that we have. And a steward is somebody who takes care of somebody else's stuff or money. And we have been fortunate enough to be given by God resources in which we are stewards of, and he asks us to use it the way that he longs for us to use it. Now, I was at a conference for students many, many years ago. It sounds like forever. But it was in 2000, I think, and I was in Panama City Beach, Florida, and it was great. There was about, 4,000 students there, and a guy named Andy Stanley was speaking. And Andy Stanley said something. He wasn't talking about money, but he said something that applies to this and applies to every area of our life. He says this, and this is kind of what we're going to hang our hats on as we move forward this morning, is that when we see as God sees, we will do as God desires, okay? When we see as God sees, we will do as God desires or what God wills. Once we see as God sees, we'll do what God says. Now, this morning I told you that we're going to be talking about money and stuff, and I'm going to put this right here so it doesn't flow away because, I'm responsible for that. I want you to know that the scripture talks a lot about money. And as believers, we would be, as a congregation, we would be negligent and or ignorant to move forward not functioning as a congregation and personally as individuals the way that God tells us to function with our money. Jesus talks a lot about money. In fact, Jesus, and people say this all the time, but it's really true. Jesus talked about money more than he did about heaven and hell combined. Jesus talks a lot about money in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's really important to him because he understands how important this stuff is to us. Now, how many of you in here, you don't have to raise your hands, but many of you in here are young, and you don't really think you have a lot of this stuff, okay? But here's the deal. Like, you thought this. I'd love to stop at Starbucks this morning to get a latte, but I don't have enough money, right? Right? Anybody think that? No, most of us stopped anyway, right? We stopped anyway, and we used the credit card, the debit card, which there's money in the bank, and or we just said, oh, what the heck, it's only $4.95, all right? It's a gallon of gas or whatever, which is gas is going down, which is a good thing. But anyway, all that to say is that we think that we don't have a lot of money. And in some cases, we don't. For instance, when my wife and I first got married, we both just graduated from college, and I actually remember we were living in Miami, and I was living in an apartment right before I got married to her, and it was a one-bedroom apartment. I had a sleeping bag and cardboard boxes with my clothes in it. I had a weight bench and a 13-inch black-and-white TV, and that's how I lived until I married her. And then she brought, like, a bean bag and some dishes with her. I can remember we said, let's go out to eat. We did not have any money. And so we ran downstairs and took the back seats out. We had two cars, took the back seats out of the cars and looked all underneath, and finally scrounged up enough change to be able to go to Burger King and get a Whopper. We went to Burger King and had a Whopper, and we cut it in half, and we split it, and we drank water together. And isn't that romantic? And that's because we were poor, right? We were poor. Well, that's not necessarily the case anymore. I don't have to scrounge first, I don't eat at Burger King anymore. And secondly, I don't need to scrounge my car seats to find money to buy a cheeseburger, all right? Life changes. And so for those of you that are saying, well, I don't have a whole lot of money, you have more. If you're a college student or a high school student, you probably have more money now than you did 5 years ago. And if you're my age, you have more money now than you did when you were in college or when you just got out of high school or just got out. So, what happens is, the reason this happens is because we live in America and we're on this exponentially moving up the financial chain and we're getting stuff. And George Carlin does this routine on stuff. Have you ever seen it? Yeah, isn't it funny? Well, you can't show it in church. But but I wanted to show it bad, but I said, man, if we edit all that out, it won't make any sense. But so I'm not encouraging you to go to YouTube and watch it, but it is funny. All right, so he does this whole thing about how we're all about stuff, and we get our stuff, and he said our houses are just our stuff with a cover on it. And then he said, and so what happens is as we get older in life, we need to get a bigger house. Why? Because we have more stuff that we got to put in our house. And he talks about going on vacation, and we take our stuff with us, and it's important. And he says, it's really pretty funny. And he said, I think it's funny. The point that he made was really funny is he says, it's interesting that we think our stuff is important, everybody else's stuff isn't. All right? But the fact is that we're all about stuff. And we got it, honestly. We grew up in America. We're just people, and that's the way we think. The problem is that we need to see as God sees so that we will do as God says. And with that in mind, I want us to look at two passages this morning where Jesus talks about money. The first one is in Luke chapter 16. And so if you have a Bible, and if you don't, you can raise your hands because I see the guys in the back with carrying around Bibles. If you need one, they'll give you one. So if you go to Luke chapter 16, put your finger in there, and then flip over to Matthew chapter 6. Those are the two passages that we're going to look at. Now, the reason that we're looking at two passages this morning is because I want you to see that even though these are two different stories and two different scenarios and two different crowds and two different time events when Jesus spoke about money, he's basically saying the same thing. And Jesus says the same thing when he talks about money over and over and over again in the Gospels. So we're getting ready to look at verse 1 through 13 of chapter 16 of Luke. And I'm not going to ask you to read it because it's kind of a story, but I'll set the story up for you. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and there are a bunch. The Pharisees are standing around. The Pharisees are religious guys who are big into religion, but they're even big into their stuff and their money. And the reason we know that is because Jesus tells us that later on down, and the Gospels tell us that later on down down through this chapter and then throughout the Gospels. And so Jesus is telling his disciples this story, and this is the way the story goes. He says, there was this master who had a guy who was a manager of all of his stuff and his cash. And the master found out that the manager was not using his stuff wisely and was squandering it. And so he sent a memo to his manager and said, I want you to come here. I want you to come see me because I hear you're not using my stuff wisely, and I'm going to let you go. All right? The manager gets this memo, and the manager says, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to lose my job. And when I lose my job, I am not going to be able to take care of myself. Then he has this great thought. He says, I know what I'll do. So he goes to the people that owe his manager money, who he's kind of been managing over. He goes to these people and he says, hey, don't you owe my manager some money, or my boss some money? And he goes, oh, yeah, I do. He goes, well, what do you owe him? He says, well, I actually owe him 100 barrels of olive oil. And then this manager of his boss's money says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a paperwork out, and I want you to scratch out that 100, and I want you to put 80 in there. And I'll sign it. And it's good. The guy says, thanks. And so he does that. And then he goes to another one. He goes, don't you owe my master, my boss, something? He goes, oh, yeah, I owe him a lot. He goes, what do you owe him? He goes, I owe him like 80 bushels of wheat. He goes, I tell you what, why don't you give me that paperwork? We'll scratch it off, and we'll put down 50 bushels of wheat. And the guy says, good deal. So they scratch it off, and the guy signs it. And then he goes to his master after he does all this wheeling and dealing. He goes to his master, and he gets his pink slip. And then this is what it says. But as the master is giving him his pink slip, in verse 8 of Luke 16, it says this. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. What? He said, good job. I got to hand it to you, dude. You know, you're getting your butt fired. You're out the door. I'm giving you the pink slip. But you made a smart move because you went and maneuvered. You took what little time you had and what little bit of power you had, and you maneuvered it so that in the long run, you will have people that will care for you and will owe you something, so that when the time comes when you no longer have a job, these people are indebted to you. And that's what the master says. Then Jesus adds this in commentary in verse 8. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus is basically saying in this text, he's saying, you need to understand that you need to see things as I see them. And when you see things as I see them, you will do as I desire. We'll come back to this text in a minute. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Another story, another text. And I don't have to tell you this. We'll just read it starting in verse 19. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. The reason I said Matthew 12 is because I misprinted it here in this, and it keeps coming up. So anyway, but it is Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And this sounds familiar, doesn't it? "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, in this text, Jesus is not teaching against gaining a profit. He's not teaching against savings. He's not teaching against investing. He's not saying negative things about being rich, that somehow being rich is and having resources is evil. After all, if you look throughout the scripture, there are many men and women in the scriptures whom God says that he loved and were people after his own heart who had cash and had great amounts of stuff. You got David. You've got Abraham, you've got Solomon. In fact, Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth and a man who had God's blessing on him, tells us in Proverbs that we ought to be people who look at the ant and understand that the ant knows enough to save and to store away and put stuff away for later, because when the winter comes, they need it to live. And he says, you see the ant? The ant's that smart. You guys should be that smart as well. I mean, you know, and do some savings. So God's not, Jesus is not teaching against savings. He's not teaching against being rich. The point here that Jesus is making is the same point that he made in the previous text that we looked at in the Luke passage, is that when we see as God sees, we will do as God desires. And the point is this, that we need to use our stuff and our cash to leverage a good position for ourselves. All right? So there are basically three things that I want you to see from both of these texts. When we're talking about our stuff and our money, all right, and our money and our stuff, there are three things that Jesus is making clear out of both of these texts, and that's this, that our stuff and our money is, number one, it's a tool, all right? Number two, our stuff and our money is a test, and number three, our stuff and our money is a trademark. So let's look at the first one, all right? Jesus is saying to us that our money is, and our stuff is a tool. In Luke 16, verse 9, and then also in Matthew 6, 19, I'm going to compare these two verses, and then we'll go. Luke 16, it says this, "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings." All right? Now, Jesus is not telling us, if you first read this, the manager do with the money? He used his boss's money to what? To leverage and buy friendship, didn't he? Now, Jesus isn't going, hey, those guys were smart. Christian people, people that are followers of me, they're not that smart. They don't understand how to leverage and buy friends with their cash. That's not what he's teaching here, okay? He's not saying go out, use your money, buy some friends so that people will come to your house, you know, when you have a party. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying any of that kind of stuff. What he's saying is that a non-believer is smart enough to leverage what he has for his benefit. He says, believers, you need to leverage what you have for your benefit. Now, once again, let's review. This is my $20 bill, right? No. Whose is it? It's God's, right? Because everything that I have comes from God, and everything that I have belongs to God. Is that true? Okay, that's true for me. Is that true for you? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? So God owns your house, if you own a house. God is basically owns your apartment if you live in an apartment. Even though you're paying rent, you really don't own it. He owns your bed. He owns your TV. And he owns all of this. And everybody's in agreement with that. Okay, good. Well, we can quit. Let's finish, all right? Let's finish with this point. The point is this. Jesus is saying that there are people who are believers that need to take the stuff that he has given them and the cash that he has given them to leverage for themselves eternal benefits. Okay? So what is it that lasts forever? The Word of God, people, and the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at this verse, it says in verse 9, it says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, okay? So when it is gone, when this is gone, you'll be welcome into eternal life. Now, what is he saying there? Seriously, he's saying this. And it's really pretty simple. He's given us this cash and stuff to use, to leverage for ourselves eternal benefits. Let me tell you something. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you know for certain that you are going to go to heaven, you are not going to heaven because you're going to give money to the church. You're not going to heaven because you're good looking. You're not going to heaven for any other reason than this. The work, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not earned by us in any way, shape, or form. Our eternal life is not earned by us in any way, shape, or form. We owe everything, and it's all based upon the work, the redemptive work and life of Jesus Christ and our faith and trust in him. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. But God, Jesus is telling us, and he's not even implying it, okay, that when we get to heaven, what heaven is going to be like for us is going to be based upon what we do with this. Now you're thinking, he's out there, right? No, look at what he says. He says, use what you have now so that you will have friends when you come into eternal kingdom. Let me show you how this works. When you give money to those things that last, the Word of God, the kingdom of God, and people, when you invest your money toward that, it has eternal value and eternal significance. Do you realize that when you get to heaven, for those of you that have faithfully given to the kingdom of God and faithfully given for the promotion of the Word of God and faithfully given for the justice of mankind and of people, do you realize that when you get to heaven, there will be people in heaven who meet you who you never knew that will say, I am here because you invested wisely. There really will be. I have a friend who's a pastor he's in Florida now. When he was in Texas, he first became a pastor in Texas. He called me up and he said to me, Mike, I want you to know that I just led two people to Christ. And I said, Mario, that is awesome. And he said, and you get the credit for it. I said, what do you mean? He goes, when we get to heaven, you get the credit for it. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, you taught me how to share my faith. I shared my faith with these guys and they came to Christ. There's going to be someday that you're going to meet those guys and they're in heaven because of you. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. When we take our time and our treasure and our talent and we invest it in things that matter, people, the kingdom of God, and the Word of God, and we invest it wisely, we are reaping for ourselves benefits in the kingdom of God. We are investing in our eternity. Does that make sense? Last service, and someone said no. And that's okay. Because what's really important is that we get it. That we get it. That Jesus is telling us straight up that our stuff is not ours. But he's given us the great privilege to take what is his and use it to benefit ourselves. That's a pretty cool deal. That's a really cool deal. And we need to get it, because when we see as Jesus sees, we will do as Jesus says. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says that this is a tool as well. When Jesus says this, when he says this is a tool, when it says money and our resources is a tool, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He's saying, look, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Take your resources and your time and invest them in things that matter for eternity. Here's the deal. This week I was with a financial investor who told me straight up that for someone my age, okay, and someone in my situation, I was doing a pretty good job preparing for retirement, okay, which made me feel good. And then I began to study for this message. And I said, dude, he's way off. He is way off. He's looking, going, you're keeping enough of this cash over here, Mike, so that if you make it to 90, okay, after that, you're just, it's your free fall, bud. It's all over here. But if you were to make it to 90, you'd be able to live okay, all right? Okay. That's if you retire at this age and you know, and the market does this. And by the way, this isn't going to be worth jack nothing the way we're going, okay? So, all right, so I'm putting all my energy to save this so I might make it to 90. Here's the deal. There's going to come a time for all of us when this life that we're living right now is just like a distant memory. And for some of us, we're going, thank God. And in fact, if you live long life long enough, you will say, thank God, that it'll be a distant memory. And yet he's telling me that I need to invest this for something that's going to be a distant memory. And Jesus comes to me and says, do you get it? Take that which I've given you, that little bit of cash that I've led you to have, and that little bit of stuff that I've led you to have, and invest it not for your retirement until age 90, but invest it in what matters forever. And the return lasts forever. And those things are people, the Word of God, and the Kingdom of God. All right? So not only is it a tool, but it's also our money and resources as a test. In Luke 16, in verses 10 through 12, he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And he goes on to say that, you know, so how in the world, if you can't be trusted with much or with very little, would anybody ever trust you with much? And then he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he goes on and talks about the eye, and I'll explain that in a second. But let me go back to Luke 16. What Jesus is saying when he says that whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, he's basically saying this, that God is watching. He's watching us to see what it is that we do with what it is that he has given us. Because everything we have belongs to God, because it came from God. Now, if we thought this way, when we dealt with this and our stuff, we would deal with this and our stuff differently than we do. You know why I know that to be true? Because that's what I was convicted about. I was convicted about the fact that somehow, with the rest of you, I have believed the lie that this is mine. And that I need this stuff because I might make it to 90. Chances aren't that good, I'm sure. But I might. All right? And who's going to take care of me? Jackson. And Ben. And by the time I get to 90, Obama. I'm sure his face is going on something. That $1 trillion coin I heard. So this is bad thinking. And Jesus is saying, look, God watches. He knows. Think smart. And use what you have to invest in the kingdom. I want you to see this. And I said to the last group, if you don't remember anything else, you might want to hold on to this, because it's really important. Jesus says in verse 21 of Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? Here's my heart. And we believe that, and we think that makes common sense, right? Because where our heart is, our money tends to be, right? Tends to be. For instance, Cabela's. Forever 21. All right? I don't know what else is out there, right? You know, but there's everything. But, you know, I go to Cabela's. I went to Cabela's at Christmas time. I'm thinking, why don't I own stock in this company? You can't even find a parking spot in this state, all right? So it's crazy. But because we really believe that, and it is kind of true, that our money tends to go where our heart is, and our money follows our heart. And Jesus comes and throws us a curveball, and he says that's not true. Look what Jesus says. He says completely the opposite in verse 21 of Matthew 6. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A lot of us are like this. My heart's in Cabela's. My heart's in Forever 21. My heart's in whatever. The playoffs. And my heart's in, you know, this. My heart's in this activity. Or my heart's in golf. And my heart's in... And we come to God and we know that our money is not being used wisely. We know that our money is following our heart. And we go, God, I know that I need to be investing, watch. I need to be investing over here in things that last forever, in that which is eternal. I need to be investing in people, the Word of God, and the kingdom of God. But my heart is over here, and therefore my money keeps wanting to go over here. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. Watch. He says, pay attention. He says, your heart goes where you invest. He's doing it backwards. He's saying this. Stop praying that your heart will change to come over here into the kingdom of God. Leave Cabela's. Go into eternity. And those things that are important forever. He says, start taking your cash and putting it in that which is eternal. And I promise you, your heart will follow. He said it, not me. Okay? So for those of you that have been praying, God, change my heart, Jesus said, change your checkbook. That's what he said. If you change where you put your money, your heart will follow. This is true. You know why it's true? Because I have done it. I have done it. I'll look at things and go, man, there's some people over there. They need something bad. And so what I'll do is I'll go, but you know, my money in my heart is over here, and I really need this, right? I really need a 60-inch plasma TV. Oh, you're right, 65. Okay. Well, I think a little, right? I need it. Okay, 70. Okay, I'll go 70. I don't have any room for anything bigger. All right, I need that, okay? And I'm really sorry that the things aren't getting done over here. And when I get around to it, God, you really need to change my heart. And Jesus says, no. Put your money over here. And your heart will follow. Make sense? It's the truth. You know how come I know it's the truth? He said it. All right. So not only is our money and our resources a tool and also a test, but in the last verse of both of these stories, in both of these passages, Jesus wraps it up with the exact same words. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Word for word, Luke 16, word for word, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Our money and our stuff is a tool that God wants to use in our life. He uses it to test us, and it's a trademark of who we are. And God basically says this: you say you're a follower of Jesus, where's your money? Actually, where's my money? The money that I have given you to invest in that which is eternal. As I prepared for this, I sat at my desk last night and said to myself, you are stupid, stupid, stupid. Because I'm trying to take so much of this and cram it into stuff that does not matter. It really doesn't. And that which I think really matters doesn't matter 6 months later. Have you noticed that? That 65-inch TV, I'm sure I'm going to want an 80. Do you see what I'm saying? But yet we keep dumping it in there, dumping it in there, dumping it in there. And it's all going to be gone. And Jesus says, take that which I have given you. Wait, before I do this. If you don't have a watch, reach for your cell phone. Take it out. And then while you're getting your cell phone, grab some money. We're not taking up an offering. Okay, so anyway. All right, so get some money. I just want to make an illustration. But I want you to see this. Okay, if you have a cell phone, the reason I had you take it out because some of us don't wear watches. But get someplace where you can either see a watch on your arm or see your cell phone. And watch this. Hold up your cell phone or your watch. God has given us a little bit of time. Now hold up your cash. And for some of us, a little money, and for some of us more, to leverage the time and the money and invest it into eternity, things that matter. Okay, put your hands up. This is the coolest thing in the world. God has given us his stuff to leverage for ourselves eternal benefits. That's like your mom and your dad coming to you and saying, here's $5 million. You don't need, that's way too crazy. Here's $500. I want you to use it and I want you to invest it so that when the time comes that you really need to buy something or have something, you'll be able to. So take it and invest it wisely. If our parents did that, we would take that $500 and say, well, yeah, I need to put this in the bank because I need to put it in a CD. I need to invest it in something where it's going to make some money so that in the long run, the benefits for that will pay off. I don't want just $500 in 15 years from now. I want, you know, $50,000. And they're saying, you never have to pay me back. God comes to us with his money and his stuff and tells it to take our time and invest it in that which lasts forever. And we will reap the rewards. I am stupid, stupid, stupid. Because I hold on to this stuff like it's mine. Ooh, precious, precious. My precious. There's a good chance you do too. And we have to remember, everything we have came from God. And everything that we hold on to belongs to God. And he's allowed us the incredible privilege as his people to take that which he has given us that is his, to invest it into eternal things that will reap rewards for us. Wow. Because when we see as God sees, we will do as God asks. Do you see? do you really see? You're going to walk out of here, and the lie is going to get screamed at you again. It's yours. It's just stinking paper that can be used for eternity. Let's pray. God, as the band comes up and we get ready to wrap up, my prayer is that these people here this morning will have the same realization that I have and have had over this last couple days as I've been studying this, and the conviction that I've had that I really need to see as you see so that I will do as you say with the resources that you have allowed me to manage for you. God, thanks that you give us the privilege to make a difference in people's lives and in the kingdom of God with your stuff. Help us to do so wisely.